Blog Talk Radio.
I am going to go ahead and make a couple of announcements before we have the prayer. For those of you who may not know, our daughter, our being myself and Yolanda Shuaib, passed from this life last week. And inshallah, we're going to do janaza in absentia for her after these announcements are made, and that is, in after the regular Jumu'ah Salat. So inshallah, if you would, if you can remain for that or not. also, okay, Islamic studies, every class goes on 9 to 11 a.m. The An-Nas Children's Islamic Institute for ages 6 to 13, that happens regularly also. And you can contact Dr. Peters, mshspeters@gmail.com for enrollment and other information. Also, we have the An-Nas Youth Business Loan Program. The Masjid Worthy Youth ages 9 to 18 can apply for an interest-free business loan to start building a business. Also, contact Dr. Peters for that. We have birthdays. We have Jacob Peters, who's also April 20th, his birthday. Khadija Ali, Nisa Bismillah. Don't say little Nisa. I don't know which one it is, little. You know, we got two of them around here. Brother Steve, also, he's right there in the house. Brother Steve, happy birthday. And also to Jasira Yarborough as well. Men's group will have their monthly conference call that's tomorrow, I suspect. I just mentioned with regard to the janaza, that's still going on. There will be a janaza in Rolling Hills Memorial Park, but due to COVID restrictions, the Rolling Hills only allows for 50 attendees. This is also a part of the protection for their employees as well. And so this is one of the additional reasons that we are doing the, you have the announcement for me? That we are doing the janaza in absentia as well. So mashallah, this will also give an opportunity from others. Okay. As far as the Eid activities are concerned, we are still going to make sure that our young people have an excellent time of remembrance. Whenever the Eid time comes about, we're not going to allow COVID or anything else to suppress that, even though we have to do it differently. But the idea is to make sure that they still have that experience during this time, where they're not running around with each other and eating and having candy and playing games and the like. But we are putting together what will make that a blessed Eid for them. So it requires $100. We would like to have $100 for those of you who want to support that happening, as we do every year. Those of you, you know that we do it every year, but we want you to understand that we are seeking to have the same impact, especially on our young people during this Ramadan time, especially during this COVID situation. We don't want them to have sad memories that cause them to feel that they lost it all because of this time. We don't want them to have that kind. We want them to have the very opposite. So $100 in your sadaqah support for that, and remember the blessings of Ramadan. So we'll have the to-go iftar every weekend during Ramadan. You can start picking up your iftar meals at 6 o'clock. You can start picking them up here at 6 o'clock. You have to go to the gate out on the other side. And the women's group of Masjid Warathin is having a pie sale, bean pie sale, and I believe cookies up, and cookies, right? So let's call it a pastry sale. That's me. Okay, yeah, I don't have to own it. That's me. Right? Pastry sale. Alhamdulillah. So what you can do is there are sisters here from Masjid Warathin. If you do it right. Approach them and say, I'd like to order my pie from you. If you don't know any sister, you want to get the bean, you want to get a bean pie, you don't have a sister in mind, let's put it that way, then Amina, I'm going to allow them to go ahead and pay, what I think it's $15 for that, whatever the listing is for that. They'll pay you for whatever cookies they want, pay you for whatever. Is Zarina Majid here? See, now, maybe she's outside. Either way, don't matter. I'll leave you. I'm already all the way out of my lane. Latifah. Y'all want bean pies and cookies and the pastry sale? Give your money to Amina, and then she will direct it to the women's group accordingly. That's fair. Somebody's got to tell me when the pies are going to be delivered, though.
They're here.
Oh, they're here?
The ones
that are
already ordered.
Oh, there's pies out there. Oh, it's a done deal then. All right, so all them pies, they're going to be empty. I know. Mashallah. And mashallah. So good. That's even better. You can take a bean pie with you. And some cookies. All right. Y'all don't know what it feels like to be on troubling thin ice when you step out there. Mashallah. I thank you so much for your patience. I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your consideration. I thank you for observing the restrictions that we suggested when the announcement of my daughter's passing happened. I didn't know how much I actually did need that space to be left open that way. I didn't know that. But coming to, and I do consider this now the end of that part of it, not the mourning and everything that goes with that. It's still very close to the surface, obviously. But I thank you. I know you love us. I know you love me. I know you love me. I know you love my wife. And those of you who knew her, I know you loved her, mashallah. So I thank you. And life goes on. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us. So we're going to make the janazah. Pardon me. Yeah, we're going to make the janazah after. Of course, right now, we have to fulfill our first obligation, which is Juma wa akim as-salat.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة كما
لا إله إلا الله سيدنا محمد رسول الله استو واستقيم يا حكم الله وثابكم الله make our roads straight and even. We often say leave no space between the shaitan and divided. I was reminded when I thought about that, again, in this COVID time, Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah alayhi, he pointed out to us that our soul is bigger than the space that our body occupies. So to be physically touching is not the only way to be touching. Our souls are bigger than the space that our body occupies. Some scientists, and it's true, will tell you that we have electromagnetic fields extending out from each of our bodies. If they could be seen, there would be much overlap already. So even though we're physically separated, we are definitely connected, mashallah.
Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawm Al-Din Iyaka An-Na'budu Wa Iyaka An-Nasta'in Ihdina As-Sirat Al-Mustaqim صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والدهاء ولا والليل إذا سجى ما ودرك ربك وما قالا وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولا سوف يعطيك ربك فتردى ألم يجدك يتيما فأوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فهدى. الله أكبر.
سمع
الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلا ربك فارغب. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
الفاتحة.
بسم الله الرحمن.
السلام عليكم brothers and sisters. الحمد لله. This is Fahim. Yesterday when we did the Jumma, normally I cut off and I don't have the announcements and the other material in it. So when I come back home and reset the Jumma for the next day, or rather this broadcast, Saturday morning's broadcast, all I have to do is just take the last recording without thinking about it, throw it up there, and I know that the last thing I recorded was the Jumma. Well, yesterday I broke it into two segments. I finished the first portion of it, and then I started it over again so as to include the prayer and the janazah in absentia. So what wound up happening is this one got, what you've been hearing, got posted as the Jumma from yesterday. Unfortunately, immediately, I won't be able to put that one up. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and start the playing of start the playing of last week's Jumma, so it'll be a repeat while I'm processing the other one to be loaded up. So it may turn out to be a double Jumma day in that sense, with a briefer ending. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to start last week's Jumma while I process yesterday's Jumma. So, mashallah, if you are going to be with us, then you'll be able to get a little bit of both. Thank you for your patience. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Cell phone instruction. Cell phone instruction. Alhamdulillah. ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين وكان آخر ما نزل من آياته اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمت ورضيت لكم الإسلام الدين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله القائل إن دين عند الله الإسلام وأشهد أن سيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم بين أركان الإسلام وأنها شهادة والصلاة والزكاة وحج والصيام اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الذين شهر الله صدورهم للإسلام وحبب إليهم الإيمان وزينة في قلوبهم وقرها إليهم الكفر والفسوق والعصيان وجعلهم من الراشدين أما بعد يا عباد الله أوصيكم ونفسي أو بتقوى الله تعالى وطاعته الحمد لله developed brothers and sisters all unqualified praise is due to Allah the one who sent down upon us his book most clear And the one who revealed in his last ayah, this day have I completed your religion, I perfected your way of life for you, and I have perfected my favor upon you, and I have preferred for you al-Islam as your way of life. He is the one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran who says, surely the way of life with him is al-Islam. And we bear open and sound testimony that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to whom the Quran is revealed, is his servant and his messenger, and he made plain to us the principles of al-Islam, particularly the declaration that there is no object of worship except Allah, and that of salat, and that of zakat, and that of hajj, and of fasting. We say, O Allah, send your prayers and your peace and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad, and upon his family and upon his companions, all of them. Those who Allah opened their hearts and their breasts to al-Islam, and he made them to love faith, and made that faith beautiful in their hearts. And he made them to hate unbelief, ingratitude, rejection, and wrongdoing, and evil, and wrong behavior. And he made them among those who are guided. And after this salutation, O servants of Allah, I advise you, but first I advise myself, to be regardful of Allah in the manner he should be regarded, and to obey him. وَأَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَأَسْلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ وَجُمُعَ مُبَارَكٌ وَرَمَضَانَ مُبَارَكٌ الحمد لله all of the above الحمد لله أما بعد يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون صدق الله العظيم An expression of this, the 183rd ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, is, O you who believe, fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, that you may learn self-restraint. A hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the authority of Abu Muhammad Abdullah bin Amr al-As radiallahu anhu, he said, The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا أَحَدُكُمْ تُؤْمِنُ حَتَّى يَكُونَ هَوَاهُ تَبَعًا لِمَنْ جِدْتُ بِهِ صدق رسول الله sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, None of you truly believes until his desires follow what I have brought. Alhamdulillah, dear beloved brothers and sisters, today Alhamdulillah, this is the first Jum'ah in this month of Ramadan. And Alhamdulillah, we are going to be reminding ourselves and each other of the fact that there are benefits to fasting. And not just to fasting, but the benefits of fasting in Ramadan. So there are two parts. That is, we're seeking to share information. One is what many of us, on average, we haven't seen fasting separate from Ramadan. Most times when we think about fasting, we think about it in Ramadan. But fasting is one of the arkan al-Islam. We say of it fasting in the month of Ramadan, so that's how most of us were introduced to it as. However, fasting as a practice, we do know that it is a sunnah of the Prophet, and the hope is that we get a better understanding of that sunnah. But then, and also to understand how it relates to really the growth of our humanity. So as I proceed, most of what I have to say today will be simply grounded in reports from and about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regard to his practice of fasting and the practice of fasting in general. And if we don't complete the Ramadan side of it, inshallah, that will be inshallah next. So, there's a report from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that says a Bedouin is someone someone who lives out in the desert. They don't live in the city, in the city limits. A Bedouin with unkempt hair came to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, "O Messenger of Allah, inform me what Allah has made compulsory for me as regards the prayers." He, the Prophet, peace be upon him, replied, "You have to offer perfectly the five compulsory prayers in a day and a night," that is 24 hours, "unless you want to pray nawafil." Nawafil are the extra prayers that you can add to it. And in passing by this note, I want to emphasize again, the idea is to take advantage of things that we haven't been taking advantage of. Alhamdulillah, Ramadan is a reminder. And one of the things that we haven't taken advantage of is, you know, the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever makes the extra prayers, the 12 extra prayers, nawafil, those prayers that come after, and there are different numbers, and again, it depends on madhab as well, but generally speaking, there are 12 when you talk about the sunnahs related to the fajr, sunnah related to the zuhr, sunnah related to the asr, sunnah related to the maghrib, sunnah related to the isha, and of course the other nawafil when you talk about the even and the odd as they're identified, which are extra, but the ones before even that Qiyam al-Layl that would come later in the night after going to sleep, waking up, etc. But the 12, he said, whoever makes those 12, Allah will build a house for them in Jannah. Just for making those 12. On the other side of the Fard, okay, make those 12. And I'm going to leave it to your own research to think about the ikhtilaf or the difference. What does that mean? Does that mean you have to make it once? Or does it mean you have to make it every day? The Prophet said, if you do that, Allah will build for you a house. And I think actually the Arabic may actually say a palace in Jannah, inshallah. But the point is that nawafil of the salat is another big avenue of reward for us that we must learn how to take advantage of. So the Bedouin replied after the Prophet said, you have to do just the five prayers in the day and the night unless you want to pray nawafil. The Bedouin further asked, His next question was, inform me what Allah has made compulsory for me as regards fasting. And the Prophet replied, you have to fast during the whole month of Ramadan unless you want to fast more as Nawafil. Same reply, and we're going to say more about the fasting, the Nawafil fasting, after we finish this portion, inshallah. So the Prophet gave the same answer. You're obligated to do this. So the obligation on the Muslim for as far as fasting is concerned is Ramadan, the fasting of Ramadan. Fasting outside of Ramadan is not an obligation on the Muslim in terms of to meet the arkan of Islam, to meet the responsibility. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the Prophet, peace be upon him, affirming, he says, Buni al-Islam wa al-Khams, the structure of al-Islam is built on five essentials. Well, as a part of those five essentials, Siyam al-Ramadan, fasting of Ramadan is one of the essentials. Everything else is Nawafil. So it says you have to fast during the whole month of Ramadan unless you want to fast more as Nawafil. The Bedouin further asks, he says, tell me how much zakat Allah has enjoined on me. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he informed him that about all the rules of the fundamentals of al-Islam. This report doesn't elaborate on that. So, and Hajj in this report is not mentioned, but we know that Hajj is one of those pillars. But as of the time of this report, the report ends there, except to this. Says that the Bedouin then said, by him who has honored you, I will neither perform any nawafil, nor will I decrease what Allah has enjoined upon me. He's saying, I'm only going to do what I'm obligated to do. And the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the man left, he said, if anyone wants to see someone who is in paradise, look at that man. So the Prophet is saying to us that all you have to do is what you're obligated to do. And those obligations have been laid out for us. The Prophet, peace be upon him, in the life of his mission, made it clear. This is what Allah has ordered for me. So when Allah says, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum dinukum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-Islam ad-Din, he's saying that it has been perfected. I've given you everything you need. I've given you the model of the Prophet. The Prophet has told you the details that you need to have in order to live out this faith that I have, quote-unquote, blessed you with as my favor. And the Prophet is saying, if you do that, then you're good. But that was not all that the Prophet did, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet did more than fasting in the month of Ramadan. And going back to the verse that opened this khutbah, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامَ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So fasting has been in the life of religious people from history. So it wasn't with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the ritual of fasting and the purpose of fasting was, first introduced. No. It has been affirmed and it is being shown as a part of the perfection of Allah's favor, and it's also being shown as the perfection of what's necessary for human beings in order to realize their aim in life. That statement when it says that wa akmaltu lakum dinukum, I have perfected for you your way of life. Life has all of its challenges, and we're going to get to that, inshallah, whether it be today or the next day, inshallah. Life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ الْعَمَلَ. He is the one who has created the death and the life to try which of you is best in conduct. Life is a trial, and I'm sure many of us know those reports where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about the unending nature of the trials and the challenges of life. So from birth to death, trial after trial after trial, usri yusra, usri yusra, usri yusra, that's life. All right? And fasting in the past has served that purpose, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perfected the way of life for us, He included in the package, if you understand what I'm saying, He included in the package of what is going to perfect your life, fasting. Allah, who created us, and who created the life and the death, and who is the judge of us, He's saying, you need to fast. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah. Here's a hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaking of his sunnah. When we say his sunnah, we know that Allah says of the Prophet, peace be upon him, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. You have in the Messenger of Allah a most excellent model example to follow. When Allah speaks of sunnah, He speaks of sunnah as regards to His way. This is the sunnah of Allah, and never will you find a change in the sunnah of Allah. So when He speaks of the Prophet, He speaks of uswa in Quran. He speaks of his uswa. And when He speaks of himself, He speaks of the sunnah. So what are we to take from the Prophet? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he says of his uswa is his strategy, his logic, his emphasis. The sunnah is what he actually did. The uswa helps us to understand why he actually did it. Because some things the Prophet did, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were momentary, they were temporary, they were circumstantial, but they were not eternal matters. They were not matters that would never change, that don't become things that you don't need to do because the circumstances under which he did that are no longer existing. But his uswa was what decided to act in that way at that time, and that as a principle is what you use wherever you are, whenever you are, whether you're in Asia, Africa, Europe, America, etc., whether it's the 12th century or the 17th or the 21st century, you can always bring the uswa of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam into your time and place when you understand his strategy, his emphasis, his logic for doing things. So when you learn how to think in the way that subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam thinks, then that means when a new circumstance comes up, you don't have to concretely just address the thing from the concrete circumstance, because in fact you actually can't. And you can't automatically equate a situation in the 21st century saying that this is just like that. Maybe it might have some attributes that are just like that, but how many boxes are actually being checked in that manner? Because if you are not checking enough boxes and you try to apply what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did in the 7th century and you try to do it in the 21st century because you read it explicitly in one hadith or one verse of the Quran, and you'll wind up doing the wrong thing. Whether your reasoning and your intention is right, Allah is in charge of that. But the point is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he invites us to think, as does the Quran, make sure that the decisions that you make are decisions that are grounded in the rationale that I give you. Some of the hadith, inshallah, coming up may also address this as well. But going on. So then it's a part of his uswa, as well as his sunnah. In fact, the sunnah comes from the uswa. That is, the reason we see him acting the way that he acted is because of his character. لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. You have in the Prophet, and in the Prophet, an example to follow. Aisha radiallahu anha, she was with the Prophet on an occasion, and someone came. Usually the Prophet would have someone at the door to let's call it like a butler, just for the sake of our category of thinking. So somebody at these Manhattan hotels or something that they stand at the door, whatever. But in any case, so they would come and tell the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam somebody wants to have an audience with him. And so in that case, the person came in who was at the door, and someone's coming. And so the man came to the Prophet, who was with Aisha, and said, so and so would like to have an audience with you. And the Prophet sent him back and said, tell him to come in. Between that time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Aisha, said, he's the worst man in his tribe. He never takes the whip down off his shoulder. And all that's to say, he's abusive. He's abusive. He's oppressive to the people, right? And so when he came in, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed the man in honorable and noble terms, treated him well, was charitable, etc., to him and with him. And so then after he left, Aisha radiallahu anha, and you know she was very young also, She said, well, when he was coming in, you said that he's the worst man in his tribe, never take the whip off his shoulder. But when he came in, look, you treated him as though he was among the best in the tribe. And the prophet said, oh, Aisha, have you ever known me to be abusive or discourteous to anyone? She said, no. And then he explained to her what the matter, why he acted that way with that kind of person. He said, the worst people in the world are those who you avoid upsetting so that you won't be subject to their abuses. This is not the teaching today, but I'm trying to give an example between Uswa and Sunnah. And that is, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his wisdom, which is part of his Uswa, which gave him his logic, his rationale for his behavior, said that, okay, here comes a bad guy. And I know if I say something he don't want to hear, he going to go smooth off. I'm going to bring it to the hood. He going to go smooth off. So let me give him la, 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 la. The problem is not being hypocritical, because he gets rewarded for behaving well and doing good, etc. And that's his character. That's his uswa. But there's also a strategy. The strategy is, let me get this person taken care of, and let me get him out of my space. I don't want to be around him, and I don't want him going off in my house. Right? So do whatever you get rid of. So, but what does it also say? It says, that's how you deal with people who you know they will go off. If you say anything they don't like, they're going to be all up in a hissy. Right? So what's that? So that's the sunnah and the uswa. The uswa is, what's his strategy? What's his logic? What's his reasoning? What's his emphasis? Why did he do what he did in matter X or matter Y? So that's important. Now, applying that same thing to the Prophet's fast. To the Prophet's fast. Here's a report. The hadith from Abu Qatada al-Ansari radiallahu anhu said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was asked about fasting on Mondays. Fasting on Mondays. And all these now are outside of Ramadan. These are Nawafil. These are all outside of Ramadan, right? So he was asked about fasting on Mondays. He said, on that day I was born, and on it the revelation came to me. Okay? So the Prophet is celibate. Much more to be said that I'm not going to say today, but the idea is that his fasting on that day is also a commemoration of sorts. Commemoration. He said, I was born on that day, and on that day revelation came to me. But a passing hint without detail is that, well, when he says it, on that day I was born, and on that day revelation came to me, maybe he's saying that I was born when I became a prophet. Would you work with that, inshallah? Also, it was narrated from Abu Huraira that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, deeds are shown to Allah on Mondays and Thursdays, and I like my deeds to be shown when I am fasting. Uswa sunnah, uswa sunnah. Uswa is why. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٍ حَسَنًا. The why, when we understand why the Prophet did it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as opposed to that he just did it, because if you don't know why the Prophet is doing it, you may start and you may stop, and there are indictments to that kind of behavior as well. But when you understand and you embrace that reason, he's saying, I like to have my deeds shown. He's telling us about the reality that Allah subhanahu, this is what Allah does. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, part of Allah's perfect favor to us, he said, the Prophet, let me tell you, your deeds are shown to Allah on Mondays and Thursdays. Let me stay in the hood with a little bit. He said, now you can do what you want to do. Now you can do what you want to do, but I want my deed shown when I'm fasting. Now, you know, that's a good look. Hey, now, you got to know. That's a good look. You're like, oh, okay. Let's see what so-and-so is doing. Oh, he's fasting. Oh, good. The prophet said, that's when I want mine shown. So it's not just, it's the sunnah of the prophet to fast on Mondays and Thursdays. Oh, right. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Well, what's the uswa? What's the rationale? What's the reason? What's the why? See? So the prophet saying, I like to have my deeds shown when I am fasting. So alhamdulillah. So that should be a motivation for us to take up fasting on some Mondays and some Thursdays. I go with that. Now, you can do it every Monday, everything, but I got something for you on that too. That's good. Do what you can, but we'll talk about a little more about that as we come. Allah is in you, your life, alaykum anfusikum. Your life is your responsibility. But there are many greater than us. I'm very comfortable in saying these individuals whose examples, inshallah, if we get to, we'll speak to. I believe they are higher on the scale of iman and taqwa, etc., part of whom we mentioned, we identified in the report that we opened with, that they have been, their hearts have been made sound and beautiful. The great spot is for separation, my dear brother. Assalamu alaikum. So you can either work with the chair because the spots are for the separation. We're all learning. It's all good. The spots are for the separation, and chair's right there for you. Good. Alhamdulillah. This is the first day, so everybody feel bad. Ain't nothing but love. Everybody got that, right? All right. So in terms of this, we go back over this hadith again, where it says,
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brothers and sisters, again, that seems to be a perfect time for transitioning. For those of you just joining us, of course, that was the first portions of last week's Jumu'ah. Alhamdulillah, so I finished uploading the one from yesterday, which also begins with a summary of the one that we're cutting off for this morning, but inshallah, many of you heard last week. So now we're going to go ahead and air the Jumu'ah that began from the beginning. That is, we're going to begin the Jumu'ah from yesterday. And inshallah, then it'll be an all blog talk morning. We'll have an opportunity to interact afterwards. Thank you for your patience and your presence. Ramadan is the month of patience. May Allah bless us and guide us nearer to the path, even in this. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah.
Ashhadu
an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة آت محمد الوسيلة والفضيلة والدرجة والبعث مقام مأمور به وأده. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد، يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد، يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله بعثه في الأميين رسول منهم يعلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة يعلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة يخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ويا أيها المسلمون، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله، والجمعة مبارك ورمضان مبارك. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. All you who believe, fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before your time, that you might learn self-restraint. And a report of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون حواه تبعا لمن جدت به. صدق رسول الله sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And an expression of it is, none of you truly believes until his desires are subservient to what I have brought. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We are in the blessed month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The most sacred of months. The month in which the Quran was revealed. And we are celebrating by our fast the coming of the Quran, more especially. This is the second part of the address under the title Reminders of the Rewards of Fasting and Ramadan. Last week we touched on the hadith that spoke of how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fasted on Mondays and Thursdays. And the reason that he fasted on Mondays and Thursdays was that the assessment of our deeds are taken and they are presented to Allah on Mondays and Thursdays. And he says, I want to have my deeds presented while I'm fasting. We also spoke to how when we are at odds with our brother, our sister, whoever that might be, and we are not reconciled with them, Mondays and Thursdays also include the days when the gates of paradise are open on Mondays and Thursdays, and everyone is invited in to that. That is, that's what's open and available in the spirit for those who believe, except two people who are not reconciled. And so they would say everybody is welcomed in, but not these two. Not until they're reconciled. Not these two. Not until they're reconciled. So it's an encouragement in those days also for reconciliation. And you can see very easily, I believe, I hope that you can, that if you choose to fast on those days, think also about those with whom you're not reconciled, and then go ahead and do the reconciliation. You don't have to wait for Eid. You don't have to wait for some other special occasion. Make that a part of that day for you. I need to be reconciled today. It's for my own soul's sake, mashallah. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was his practice to fast 3 days in every month. And we know them as now. We know them by his message and example, Ayyamul Bid. We know them as the white days. And those white days are the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th, the days of the full moon, the days surrounding the full moon. Those are the days that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would most often fast. But when Aisha radiallahu anha was asked about his fasting of 3 days, she said that for it didn't matter per se. The report was that it wasn't exclusively on Ayyamul Bid. It was just, to be sure, 3 days of every month. But the ideal days, the best days, were the 13th, 14th, 15th, as we know them, the middle days of the month. And also, we spoke to the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he detested, he found it, it angered him to the extent that the Prophet showed anger when someone went to excesses, even in things that they deemed to be good. And one of the ways, and inshallah at another time, and a kind of spoiler alert, inshallah, there is going to be a part three, inshallah, that you, when you understand the shaitan, mashallah, to the extent that he can be understood, you can understand the shaitan. It's only God that you can't fully understand, but you can fully understand shaitan with Allah's grace and help, because Satan is not God. That should be clear. I don't have to argue that with you, right? So one of the reasons you can see how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would detest that, going to extreme, thinking that you're being righteous, is that shaitan has captured you in some way to make you think that there's a better way of doing things than the way that you've been told and shown. If the Prophet has modeled for you a way, do it the way he modeled. You don't say, well, you know what I'm saying? You want to put spinners on a Rolls Royce. You know what I'm saying? It's like maybe some of y'all don't know what that is. Well, it's so far gone. But you understand my point. Gilding the lily is another way of saying it. But the point is that there was a woman who prayed to an extreme, and the Prophet asked Aisha about this woman who she was with at the time, and the Prophet and Aisha radiallahu anha, she was like sort of lauding her prayerfulness. The Prophet disliked it, and he said that Allah never gets tired of giving rewards, but you get tired. So the point is that Allah loves those things that you can do regularly, even if it's small. This is the report of the Prophet. So going to excesses is un-Islamic, whether it's fasting or whether it's praying. And there was a man, Abdul ibn Amr, and the report, and we covered it last week, explains that before the report, may Allah bless the mother of Amr and the father of Amr and the family of Amr, etc. So no disrespect is intended to either of these people. The name of the woman wasn't mentioned, but in the other report, Abdullah ibn Amr, who was a very quote-unquote famous companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was the one who's mentioned. And he was young at the time, and so much of the Quran had been revealed up to that time, but enough such that the Prophet, he recited all that had been revealed in one night, and the Prophet didn't like that. And so the Prophet was telling him to spread the recitation out. And but the person was saying that I can do better than that. And when it came, then the Prophet set a limit on him and said to do it in 7 days, I believe it was. I'm not looking at the notes, but that may be the number. But the other answer was fasting. He wanted to fast continuously. And the Prophet, again, talked him down from that, until it got to the fast of Dawood, which the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most beloved fasting is the fasting of Dawood. And Abdullah ibn Amr has said that I can do better than that. And the Prophet told him, there is no better than that. There is no better than that. So he was enamored with his youth and his vitality. And that's a part of what his response in asking the Prophet to allow him to do more, to do more. I'm young and I'm vital. Let me do more. And the Prophet said, no, no, no. And then when he got to his old age, because you make a commitment to do something, you say, this is what I'm going to do all my... Then he got older. And when he got older, you didn't have that. He didn't have. May Allah have mercy on him, radiallahu anhu. He didn't have that youth and vitality, but then you say you're still going to do this. You're going to fast one day and talk one day. You're going to read the whole Quran this period of time. And Amr, in his final days, he wished that he had taken the rifq, had taken the ease that the Prophet had invited him to when he did. But when you get captured by an impulse, you think that that impulse, in cases, you can think that that impulse is a good impulse, but the shaitan, which we'll understand inshallah more later, will take advantage of what you don't know about that impulse that you think is a good impulse. But the shaitan, he knows the weakness in the urge, and he knows how to take the impulse and stretch it out and exaggerate it, but make you think that you are doing good by going to the excess. And that was Satan's plan, to make your righteousness a burden on you. And so just one example, which is right in front of me, without going into the whole story, but how did Shaitan get Adam and his wife to slip and fall after he had been cast out? There's a longer story about how Iblis, who is now Shaitan, got back in the garden. But the point along with that is that he devised his plan, according to the reports, when he heard Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, he's looking at the paradise that he was created in, right? And he said, I wish that this could last forever. And Shaitan perked up. Oh, there's something that he wants that he don't have. So let me create in him false desires. Shall I not lead you to a garden that never decays? That was his lead. That was his lead pitch. And the rest is our history, right? So that's just an example of that's the paradigm, that's the model of how Shaitan can take a good impulse, exaggerate it, so that makes a good thing a bad thing. Satan said, I come from the right, from the left, from before, from behind. So the Prophet's anger in that respect, I can see, and Allah knows best, that is coming from you being captured by an urge from Shaitan. And so when you look at the hadith here that we mentioned, none of you truly believes until his hawa, until his urges, his impulses, his desires follow what I have brought. Okay? And so when we fast, this is a practice that relates to that need in all of us to control our urges, to control our passions. It's not just sexual passions. You can be a passion to be ascetic. There are some people who are inclined to, I want to be bothered with nobody. I don't want nobody to be around. I don't want to be with people, you know. No. The service of God is a service to people, right? So, but if you have that monastic, that is that, along with the idea that family and relationships and progeneration is all a part of Allah's plan for humanity to get better and realize the aim that started in Nija'ilu fil Ardi Khalifa, all that requires family, and it requires children, and it requires everything that goes with family and children and the institutions that are needed, et cetera, et cetera. So, but if you don't have the inclination and the commitment to that, one of the things in the hadith regarding Abdullah ibn Umar, the Prophet says, "Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I pray and I sleep, I fast and I break, and I marry women. I marry women." And said, "This is my sunnah, and whoever doesn't accept my sunnah is not of me." Right. So all of this is to say that this is all incorporated. This is all incorporated in the fasting itself and all these things connected with it. Now, continue just for a bit on just fasting. I make a separation in the title of this between fasting and Ramadan, because most of us, when we think about fasting, our first thought, that's natural because we're reverts. It's natural. We say fasting. Ramadan, fasting, Ramadan. But fasting is before Ramadan. Fasting was before Ramadan. Before the revelation of the Quran, fasting. Kutiba alaykum as-siyama kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum. It's prescribed for you just like it was prescribed for people before you. So fasting has always been a part, just like the fast of Dawood mentioned in the hadith. Fasting has always been a part of service to Allah from the spiritual perspective. So, some reports about just fasting and its superiority. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said, Allah's Messenger said, "Fasting is a shield or a screen. So the person observing fasting should avoid sexual relations with his wife and should not behave foolishly and impudently. And if somebody fights with him or abuses him, he should tell them twice, 'I'm fasting, I'm fasting.' The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam added, 'By him in whose hand is my soul, the smell coming out of the mouth of a fasting person is better in the sight of Allah than the smell of musk.'" Allah says about fasting. Now, this is not just Ramadan. This is just fasting. It's a little hot. So Allah says this about the fasting person. Speaking of the faster, he says, "He has left his food, drink, and desires for my sake." This is a point that will be reinforced later when we speak of more elaborately on the shaitan's aspect of it. Impulses particularly. All of these things are things that we have natural desires for. But to give them up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's like one of the biggest things that you can do in life as a human being. This is why Catholicism actually looks in the minds of so many to be so lofty in its spirituality, because the commitment is, you know, you pledge yourself, and so you become a nun, you become a priest, and no disrespect intended to all, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, it says they prescribed that for themselves. I didn't prescribe that for them. But still, when we think about a Mother Teresa, we think about something else, any other quote-unquote saint, and, you know, God rest their soul and bless them for all the goodness that they brought into the world, and mashallah. And so there is a kind of uplift of that way of being in the eyes and the minds of the world. Why? Because they give these things up, vows of poverty, vows of celibacy, vows of that. So to do that with their whole life, and so it gets, how can you say, elevated in that way. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "I didn't ask you for all that. You don't have to do all that. You don't have to do all that. Just fast. Fast. Fast with that in mind. Fast with the respect and the recognition that you're giving over one of the, several of the most powerful urges in you. Sleep. Getting up early, going to bed later, praying at the time before it's time to go to bed, and praying at the time, just as you're waking up, the time when your body is saying, oh, no, not now, no. And you tell that body, say, no, this is what's up. This is what we're doing. Get up. We're going to rest good together when we finish. But for right now, this is what we're doing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recognizing that in us, He gave all that up for me. Fasting is for me. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And I will reward the faster. Look how beautiful. This is just regular fast now. I will reward the faster. Allah said, there's nothing in the world that can really give this one the true value of that personal sacrifice. And He says, so I will reward the fasting person for it, and the reward of good deeds is multiplied 10 times. Right? We could pick that apart quite a bit, but we're not going to do it. I think I'm not going to do it. But let me say just one quick thing. He said, and the reward of good deeds is multiplied 10 times. I do have a lot of numbers coming, and perhaps it'll be in the second part. I don't know. Okay. So fasting is a good deed, right? Fasting is a good deed. So then he's saying the reward for good deeds is 10 times. But then when you do good deeds while you're fasting, that's a multiplied good deed. So it's like fasting is one, and then to do good deeds while you're fasting, that gets multiplied. And the good deeds are multiplied 10 times. So you can see how you can start losing count. The hadith on fasting, all of these are hadith on fasting. But Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever fasts one day in the way of Allah, Allah will move his face away from the hellfire by a distance of 70 years. Whoever fasts one day, we haven't got to the Ramadan pieces yet. We're just talking about fasting. Whoever fasts one day, they move the hellfire away from their face 70 years. Also, one of the companions came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Umama, radiallahu anhu, he reported and he said, I asked the Messenger of Allah, tell me a deed to do. Understand that when the companions would ask that question, they're saying, I want that will give me a key to paradise. They ask questions about what's going to get me in. tell me something. It wasn't like, you know, oh man, I ain't got nothing to do today, Prophet. Give me something to do. No. I want to get to Jannah. I want the forgiveness of my sins. I want the grace of Allah. I want the protection of Allah. So when they asked that question, the Prophet understood the full magnitude of the question. And so the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, you must fast, for there is nothing equal to it. He said, you want to get to paradise? Fast. And we just listened to one of the reports where it says fasting one day moves hell away from you 70 years. We don't believe in purgatory, so if you are not in hell, you must be in paradise. Fast, he says, for there's nothing equal to it. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said, every action, this is he reporting from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet said, every action of the son of Adam, every action a son of Adam does shall be multiplied. A good action by 10 times its value up to 700 times. So the numbers are still floating around. He said the good deeds are reward. The reward for good deeds is multiplied 10 times, right? And in this one, he's saying good deeds are 10 times in value, up to 700 times. And again, this is for all good deeds. Okay? And then it says, then Allah says, with the exception of fasting. Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's saying, just good deeds. Just be good. Do good deeds. And you're going to get a 10 to 700 multiple on good deeds. Period. Fasting. He said, except for fasting. Allah is speaking. Which belongs to me. I will reward it accordingly. We're talking about one principle, one practice, one ritual, one in Al-Islam. Now, and I'm speaking about fasting. And you know, the first of our obligations, and the first thing to be judged, of course, is Salat. In the judgment, first is to be judged is Salat. And you think about the power and the reward for fasting. Well, what must it be for Salat? I mean, in the full extension of it. Now think about that statement that the Quran's revelation, its revelation concludes with. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمت ورديت لكم الإسلام الدين. This day have I perfected for you your way of life and have completed my favor on you, and I have preferred for you Al-Islam as your way of life. And then to be guided to this way of life. Come on, you got friends, I got friends. Y'all know what you did, I know what I did. Why are you a Muslim and they're not? What is so much better about you than all your partners? To say, man, I'm going to be a Muslim. You know, we wasn't saying it right, were we? I'm going to be a Muslim. What? I go, you lost your mind, man. You know they're crazy, they kill you. You know, you can't get in, you can't get out. You get in, you can't get out. Man, you can't eat no pork no more, man. What's up with that, bro? No, man, I'm gone, man. I'm out. I love you. This is me. And you hold to it, they respect you. You lose no respect. Whatever set you was on, you come back to it, they respect you for what you're about because they know you're about that. Don't think you ain't going to get tested now. You go back around that set. You fail the test, then you deserve whatever happens. Speak Allah's forgiveness still. So enough said, but the point is that Allah's reward is just so immense. And this is why we should see. It's just a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are Muslims. In kuntum sadiqeen, if we are sincere. Because there is no rule that says you are always going to be a Muslim. You are always going to be a believer. No. It's by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said there are two occasions of joy for a fasting person. One, when he breaks his fast, and the other is when he meets his Lord. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. There's so many rewards, so many blessings, so many graces that Allah has in store for us you know, many of us, you know, we come to the end of Ramadan and we expect, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's going to show us something, give us something, bless us with something. It's like a gift, like we give as gifts in Eid, and Allah does. And He does, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does, before, during, and after. So when we break the fast, alhamdulillah, dates never tasted so good. Water never tasted so good. Food never did. I was eating some vegetables yesterday, and it's like the vegetables just saying, "Now, ain't that good?" The vegetables say, "Yeah, keep going, keep going." Alhamdulillah. So it's like everything is enhanced, and that's when you break the fast on this daily, right? And alhamdulillah, Eid, the Eid Mubarak, alhamdulillah. You know, you know how good you feel. You might not want to say it out loud, but man, I'm kind of glad Ramadan's over. You know, I know, not me. I want Ramadan to keep going. Okay, well, I already introduced you to Abdullah ibn Umar. The point is, in all seriousness, when you break your fast, and then the first time, as the Prophet said, and when he meets his Lord, Allahu Akbar. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Oh Allah, give us the excellent things in this world and the excellent things in the world to come, and save us from the chastisement of the fire. Amin. Allahumma amin. Allahu Akbar. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now to speak of Ramadan. During Ramadan, everything we've talked about, every good thing, is magnified and multiplied, and maybe even for non-Muslims. I haven't drilled down and spent a lot of time on that thought, but I have a sense that when you look at Ramadan as a period of time in the universe of God, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know how in different seasons, it doesn't matter if a hypocrite or a criminal or a believer, or a non-believer, or an agnostic, if they plant a seed during that season, it's not going to fail to grow. Oh, you're a hypocrite, so I ain't growing for you. I believe that it's a season in the universe of things where all good deeds get this multiplicity of rewards. It's just that the Muslim believer gets more than all others, because we are consciously doing deeds for the sake of Allah and accepting restrictions for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The blessings of the fasting in the month of Ramadan, so now you are fasting and you're doing it in Ramadan, are greater than the blessings of fasting at other times. And there is nothing equal to fasting as a means to paradise. So already, there's nothing greater than fasting, according to the reply of the Prophet to Abu Umama, radiallahu anhu. And now, bring that fasting over into Ramadan. So let's look at some of the reports connected with that. It's reported that whoever draws near to Allah during Ramadan will have a single characteristic from the characteristics of voluntary goodness. It's like it's sunnah, effectively. And it will be like whoever performs an obligatory act in other times. So every act is elevated. The sunnah is elevated in its reward up to the fard, right? And whoever performs an obligatory act during Ramadan, he is like someone who performed 70 obligatory acts in other times. So you can go back to the 10 and to the 700 and all that, and then you put 70 on top of that for an act, not the acts of, an act of fard in Ramadan. Then which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? You know, it's like It's like somebody gives you it happens on Wall Street all the time. Let me just put it like that. On Wall Street, say, hey, you better go get you a few shares of XYZ Corporation because they're about to go IPO next week. Now, you didn't hear it from me. And that cat go empty out his bank account, load up on that stock, and when he go IPO, he's sitting, as we say, fat, right? Here we are in Ramadan. We're in a situation where there are those who are not doing what we're doing right now with that kind of reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us up on that. And go back to the next time, as I said, there are two times the faster will be when he breaks his fast and when he meets his Lord. How rich in what makes a difference after passing from this life will you be? How rich will you be? The Quran speaks of, it says, and good deeds are the best as rewards and as hopes for rewards. You stack up the good deeds and the rewards and the final pay is when you meet your Lord. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, I do this and this is what's happening. Do this and this is what's happening. I know. And it's said of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we're all familiar with it, that the Prophet was more generous than the fascinating wind during Ramadan. And Ramadan is just like, here, take it, here, whoo, here, whoo, 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 whoo. Why? Why? Even the Prophet said, I ask for forgiveness 70 times a day. And they say, oh, Prophet, you've been forgiven your sins of the past and the present and the future. He said, well, shouldn't I be grateful? So when you think about his place among human beings now and then, but then whenever Ramadan comes around, he's even more exaggerated, I'll say, in his giving and doing good deeds, et cetera, et cetera. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. My spirit this moment, it's like a child at Playland. It's like a child at, you know, these theme parks. What are they doing? What are those children doing? I mean, they are amped. They're running from ride X, ride Z, doing this, doing that. And I see that same spirit in this report from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this is the time. So remember that this where we read in the earlier report where it says, fasting is for me, so I will reward the fasting person for the reward of good deeds, while fasting is multiplied by 10 times. And the other report that we read, it says, every action of the son of Adam shall be multiplied. Good actions will be 10 times its value, up to 700 times. And Allah says, with the exception of fasting, fasting belongs to me, and I will reward it accordingly. So you can't even count. You can't count that. It's almost like a blank check. So those are during regular times, not during Ramadan. This is, look at one thing during regular times and think of its power. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. You've heard me say this often, except with the addition of وهو حي لا يميت. وهو حي لا يميت. He's the one who lives and never dies. But the rest of it, or read the expression of it all, it says, there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah. Allah has no partners. To him belongs the dominion and the praise. He causes the life and the death, and he is living and never dies. In his hand is all good, and over all things he has power. The Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says, Allah will write for him or her, pardon me, I got to go back to the front. This is an act that you do when you're entering into the marketplace. You can do it other times, mashallah, obviously. But he's saying that whoever, when they enter the marketplace, there's another teaching around why at this place. But whoever says this, entering into the marketplace, okay, you go into the mall. You're walking into the mall. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك له الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. And then you go on in the mall. If you do that to any marketplace, you can put it on the mini mall, put it on the grocery store, all of this. He said, whoever does that, Allah will write for him or her a million good deeds and erase a million bad deeds and raise him a million levels. It's like, when we hear that, you know, watch out, because the shaitan wants you to put that down too. Shaitan says, oh man, you doing too much now, man. A million good deeds, a million sins forgiven, raised, a million level. I thought it was only seven levels. Those seven levels relate to the first heaven, and the first heaven is what you can see, including the visible universe. That's just the beginning. But moving past that, no. That's a little bitty number. And it's, those are the kinds of thoughts that I follow to say, okay, well, what do you say to somebody who might have that kind of attitude? Well, here's one thing, and we're drawing to a conclusion. The Quran in the Surah Al-Isra, I believe, 17, in 36, the last part of the 36th ayah, it says, every act of hearing and of seeing or of thinking in your mind and feeling in your heart will be inquired into on the day of reckoning. Don't think it's just these outward things that we do that, oh, that's what's going to be judged. Let me see, how many times did I drink some alcohol? Let me see, how many times? No, not that. Every thought you've thought, every word you've said, every feeling you've had in your heart, every impulse that you've engaged, all that's going to be on the scale. Things are going to be weighed, as Quran says, to a nicety. It says, whoever has an atom's weight of this and an atom's weight of that. So everything, seeing, thinking, feeling, hearing, everything. In Surah Al-Qaf 50, 16 through 18, it says, it is we who created man, and we know the dark suggestions his soul makes to him, and we are nearer to him than his jugular vein. Behold, two guardian angels appointed to learn his doings, learning and noting them. One sits on the right and one on the left. Not a word does he utter, but there is a sentinel by him ready to note it. Every word. It's either going to go on the left or it's going to go on the right. And you know, some of us do a whole lot of talking, man. And everything we say is not good. But all of that is going to be added to the scale. Now, I just chose to pick out one thing. We got about 5 minutes or here. I chose to pick out one thing, just thoughts, period. Just thoughts, not the rest of it. So by estimates, we have about 60 to 70 thoughts per day. And 80 to 90% of them are negative, repetitive, and wrong. So I asked Siri to calculate for me. Y'all know Siri, don't you? I said, well, Siri, what's 365 times 65,000? She said, 23,725,000. So that's how many thoughts that one might have in a year, given 365 as the number. Okay, so I said, well, let's move it out to somebody who lives to be 50 after puberty. So that puts it right in the range of the 62, 63, right? So, Siri, what is 23,725,000 times 50? She said it's 1,186,250,000. This is just thoughts. So you need to understand, we need to understand, some thoughts weigh more than others. We're talking about the scale. So since everything is going to be inquired, and here the prophet is telling us, when you do this one act, you're going to get rewarded 1,000,000 good deeds, and you're going to have 1,000,000 bad deeds taken off the scale and raised up a level of a million. I think we can use 1,000,000 forgivenesses if we just talking about thoughts. But I'll just run this to you so you just have some sense of the number involved. So that's just ballparking thoughts. We're talking about a 62-year-old 1.1, well, let's call it 1.9 billion thoughts. So, I mean, that's a good place to use that 1,000,000 forgivenesses, right? But that doesn't include the acts of hearing. How many things have we listened to that we shouldn't have? How many things have we looked at that we shouldn't have in a lifetime? How many feelings have we had in our heart such that we're loving what we should hate and hating what we should love? I think that 1,000,000 is going to come in real handy. So this 1,000,000 applies to regular days. You get that walking in the marketplace, you get that on regular days. In Ramadan, you got to bring those other numbers, the tens and the 700s, and the 70s. Bring that in. Then how graceful is Allah? And how gracious and how grateful should we be? And I'll conclude today with this. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he says that the Messenger of Allah said, whoever fasts the month of Ramadan due to faith and seeking reward, his previous sins will be forgiven. Whoever stands in prayer during Laylatul Qadr due to faith and seeking reward, his previous sins will be forgiven. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayy al-qayyum la ta'khudhu sinatan wa la nawm lahu ma fi as-samawati wa ma fi al-ard man dhal ladhi yashfa'u 'indahu illa bi'idhnihi ya'lamu ma bayna aydihim wa ma khalfahum wa la yuhituna bi shay'in min 'ilmihi illa bima shaa'a wasi'a kursiyyuhu as-samawati wal-ard wa la ya'uduhu hifdhuhuma wa huwa 'aliyyul 'azhim allahumma salli 'ala muhammad wa 'ala muhammad kama sallaita 'ala ibrahim wa 'ala ali ibrahim وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. All I will thank you for your divine presence, power, mercy, blessings, guidance, and protection. We thank you for turning our hearts to Al-Islam. We thank you for purifying us in our hearts, in our thinking, in our feeling. Oh Allah, forgive us those things that we have said that we shouldn't have said. Forgive us those thoughts that we have thought that we shouldn't have thought. Forgive us those things that we gave ear to that we should not have given ear to. Forgive us those things that we have done that we should not have done. Oh Allah, we thank you for the blessed month of Ramadan. Bless us to earn from this blessed month what you have promised us, and we know that you keep your promise. Bless us to keep the fast in the way that you have prescribed for us, and bless us to learn and earn from the benefit of what your prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has blessed us with by his model, by his example, and what we still have, or what his life left for us. We beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen, Allahumma ameen.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh wa Ramadan Mubarak. Alhamdulillah, thank you so much for being here this morning for Universal Dimension Leadership. Alhamdulillah, we just played the first half and the totality, the first half of Jummah before last and in its totality, the Jummah from yesterday. This is going to be an all-blog talk morning, and ideally, it would be just, you know, your questions, your comments, your input, I mean, even your own Ramadan inspirations. You have to keep them brief now. I know you've got a whole Quran, but you have to keep them in context of the fact that there are others as well. But no, we all can mutually inspire each other. In fact, that's what Quran invites us to. Wa tawassaw bil haqq wa tawassaw bis sabr. It's like, where we a little more than a third of the way, around figures third of the way through Ramadan. There's something that you read, there's something that you heard, there's something that you saw, there's something that you came to understand that you hadn't been understood. Don't weigh it against anybody else's experience or anybody else's whatever, how somebody else might judge it. No. Wait, what has Allah said to you? What have you gained? What have you learned? What have you been urged to be more emphatic about, stronger in, more convicted about? Share that. That's an inspiration. So that's one of the ways that you help your brother and you help your sister. Because that experience, you may have an experience that somebody shares, or your shared experience may spark something rich in the other person. But I'm going to say, as you line up, I am going to say, you have to keep in context. You can't tell the whole thing. I know it's a big invitation that I'm asking for, but we only have maybe like 18 minutes or so. We want to share the wealth. We'll start with Zarina. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ramadan Mubarak to you and everyone.
Ramadan Mubarak.
I just wanted to share something that I'm not even clear on how to explain it, but
yeah, that's one of good ones.
The Quran and how, as I was reading it this morning, actually, it was like, you know, we know that Allah is talking to us, but I was thinking how, you know, the things that he was saying, you know, the things that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam brought to us, it was like this, he was saying it through Muhammad because he chose him as the human to bring this message through.
Mm-hmm.
But he was all, and of course he was talking to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But in some things, you know, the Prophet was not sure. You know, it was evident that, you know, the Prophet was just, he had this divine interaction, and so whatever came through him, he shared it. But Allah was talking to mankind. That he,
yeah,
you know, what he was having him to say, and you know, and
mm-hmm,
and when they say it lives forever, he's continually,
yeah,
talking to us, and he had to deal with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at different times because he was human, and he was going,
mm-hmm,
through human,
mm-hmm,
experiences, and he had to be reassured at times that,
mm-hmm,
you know, it's okay. I know what they're doing. Don't you fret. You know, I mean, just
that's
keeping
right
him knowing, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knowing that, you know, I mean, his interaction that Allah, you know, that he had, he knew this was coming from God. I mean, he had no doubt. But
mm-hmm,
in,
mm-hmm,
again, he was still human, and he would go through,
yeah,
and have feelings, and he, you know, and Allah had to speak to him, you know, directly to let him know, you know, just don't listen to them, don't care about what they're doing, you know, just do what I tell,
yeah,
you, you know, basically.
Yeah, yeah,
but it was,
yeah,
just so,
yeah,
you know, it was like, whoa, this is, that level of understanding that why this can live forever, because mankind, it will be the same forever. We're not going to change. We're humans. We're human beings.
That's very wonderful. I want to repeat something that I say often, right, that life is a series of repetitive events linked by a chain of recurrent relations. And we know, as you know, the Quran tells us that the Prophet is a model. And he says in the Quran, I'm a flesh and blood human being just like you. And it is exactly as you say. And one of the images that came to my mind as you shared that was it's like a coach or like a parent to a child that's trying to learn the game, right? They're trying to play the game, and you know, some people may be breaking the rules, or some people may be playing harder than they should, or what have you. But you know, you still have to be out there on the field. You still have to do what you have to do. And as a coach or as a parent, you're also saying that you're saying to yourself, whether you say it to them immediately, you say it to yourself, well, yeah, this is what he's going to have to go through if he's going to fulfill what he's hoping to achieve. This is a part of what he has to face. This is a part of what he has to go through. And so then so the parent or the coach finds ways to encourage them. Don't give up. Don't be overwhelmed by it. Just keep going. Get back out there. You know. So that's Rabbil Alameen. That's Rabbil Alameen. That's the one who cherishes and sustains us and moves us on the path. Thank you, Zarina.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you.
Ramadan Mubarak. Yes, ma'am.
Ramadan.
I heard you. Ramadan Mubarak. Alhamdulillah. Brother Mark, assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi taala wabarakatuh.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh to you, Imam Fahim Shuaib, and to your very astute listeners here. Mark Shaheed from the STL. I want to say alhamdulillah, the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. I want to extend my condolences to you and the Yolanda and Shuaib family and all. And
thank you.
I've been keeping you in my prayers. You know that. You know I love you, and I lost the best Noah. I was thinking, Imam Shuaib, as reported, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said about Ramadan in terms of it was divided up into thirds: first 10 days mercy, next 10 days forgiveness, and then the last 10 days. Liberation, emancipation, and some say deliverance from the fire of our passions, and oftentimes it's said hell fire. I think, I was listening to Imam Muhammad once talk about that. He said, you don't need to be so much concerned about that fire, but the fire, you understand, it needs to be controlled while we actually are living. And I just look at the natural progression of that, is mercy being a prerequisite, and Allah is extending His mercy to us in giving us this fast in the month of Ramadan in which the Quran was revealed. That is a mercy to the human creation, and that mercy that we receive from Allah, we should be extending that mercy to each other. And then those things that have lingered on for a period of time, as Allah has forgiven us in this month of Ramadan in our obedience to Him, fasting for Him, then we should also extend the forgiveness to those that we should be forgiven, and they should be forgiven us. And if we do that, this puts us in the position in the last 10 days of this fast to be emancipated, liberated from the fire of our own passions. And this is what drives the human being oftentimes where they are out of control, just like a fire that's out of control with no discipline in that regard. So I just wanted to share that, Brother Imam, and it's always I've been struggling to keep my eyes open, to be quite honest with you. I probably need a nap here, but and I hope I don't sound, you know, off or what, but I appreciate
you're clear.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you.
Appreciate you
so much, sir.
Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak.
Alaikum assalam, Ramadan Mubarak. Alhamdulillah. All right, Brother Melvin, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ramadan Mubarak, Brother Imam. It's good to see you back. And it was hard. I want you to know it was hard on us. Maybe not as much as it's hard on you, but very hard on us because we had to hold back.
Mashallah.
And we wanted to, you know, pour love to you. But alhamdulillah, it's good to see you.
Mashallah.
And, you know, my thoughts as well. Well, let me, alhamdulillah. I'm glad you're giving us an opportunity. And I'm glad you gave us this opportunity to express what we've experienced during Ramadan. And I had one of my second one yesterday at during Juma, and I was reading the Ibrahim and at verse 24, where it speaks about a goodly word is like a goodly tree, and how it the roots go down and goes up. And I'm like, and for the first time, I'm reading that and I'm seeing something completely different than I've ever saw, in the sense that, because of the connection with the Arabic class and thinking of Arabic, I'm looking at this verse as speaking to also revelation and how the word revelation is like this. In other words, give you this metaphor that it goes down into the material reality, but also it goes up into the abstract reality. And it was like my biography. Yeah. I was so excited. So alhamdulillah, I really have another one, but I'll wait. I was like lit up, you know, I mean, this but it was important to see that, and yes, because of the Arabic lesson, helped me to see that totally differently. And like, wow, all these years I've been reading this and never made any connection like that. So alhamdulillah.
Yeah. I want you to do that, but I'm gonna make one more comment.
Yes.
In what we call the first resurrection, you know, we used to say, everything comes on time, in time, right? So that meant, you know, it was like everything that happened before, that's what was supposed to happen. And when what happens, then it's on time, and in time, everything's going to be on time. So, mashallah. So don't accuse yourself of being late. You know what I'm saying? You accuse yourself. Don't do that to yourself. It's like, hey, I got it when I got it, you know? Mashallah.
I'm excited, no doubt. The other one that I had before that was I was reading where it talked about Noah and how the you know, during the rain and it said the Allah says they told ordered the fountains of the earth to gush up, and then we also know that it was raining. So this whole thing was happening at the same time. And then it says and then the ark rested on Mount Judah. And I'm so I looked up the word Judah, you know, and I'm like, and I saw that it meant getting better and, you know, so the establishment of improving and getting better, you know, it took it out of the material. Yes, alhamdulillah. And I mean, you know, so just the looking and the searching and looking at these root words and getting better, more understanding, you know, for our social and psychology, you know, and, you know, the abstract life. It's so profound. I just want to share that.
Well.
One more thing about the water is that, you know, when the ocean goes from the bottom, you know, like Katrina, you know, that's real nasty water, very nasty water coming up from the bottom of all the animals, the restroom, and that water coming around, and then you got rain coming down. So hold on, because it seems like it's talking about, you know, a bigger concept. But coming from the bottom, and then also rain coming from the top.
And
I'll stop. And only if I get on to make a comment on what you said earlier, I'll come back later for that if it's time, inshallah.
No, go ahead. No, you can do it now.
Oh,
go ahead, do it now. You don't call all the time. Go ahead.
Okay. The other one was you had mentioned about how the Satan, you know, uses your inclinations, if you will, and can exploit them, and if, And I thought about that that Russian KGB defector, Yuri Bezmenov, who said the way that we get into a bigger country that we can't physically beat is we subvert them. We come use subversion. We get in and we look for their problems, and we he said, because when you're a bigger foe, you can't, you know, meet punch force with force. You have to redirect the force and then drive that force into the wall. Use their own weight against them into their into the wall. So, you know, and it's the same thing what you said, because they must have got that from Satan, because you were mentioning is that they look for your inclination and then drive it into the ground. Just take it all the way out.
Right.
And that's a that's subversion. I saw subversion now, but it's a technique of the great Satan. So I just want to know
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. You know, you and I talk sometimes about movies. I mean, since you're bubbling up with your reading, let me throw something in that. And that is, you said it's Mount Judy, right? And then when you looked it up, it said it means like to improve, right? So it must be rooted in the word Jadid. Jadid, that is Jadid. Jadid means new. Jadid means new, right? But it's also emphatic that you can find that also in it. But what I want to put to you, because it's the ark on top of the mountain. So we talk about archetypes and the like, you know, and the what. So then now you can find in that you can spend some time with it if you like. But the idea is like the Jedi, the Jedi are those who had mastered certain arts and certain skills and the like, and we know that Noah actually means the knower, you know, the one who knows, right? It's the knower's ark. It's the one who knows the archetypes, and when you understand the archetypes, then that's how you can master the world and rise above the flood, inshallah. All right.
Yes, thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Okay, buddy, man. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ramadan Mubarak. All right. Imam Nazim, you're going to be the last one through, my brother.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam.
Alaikum.
And just a public announcement, but condolences to you and your family. And like you said, that and all the love that comes with it, you know, we extend to you. I'm like a sitting here like everybody else, excited at what I'm hearing, because it really helps you understand that, you know, you may have a certain perspective that we've gained over the years of being Muslim, but what I'm hearing today, especially from the first two speakers and just all three speakers really, but coming from them to kind of start it off, is that we have our individual perspective, I guess, but we really get a proper perspective when we hear from the community. The community give us the bigger picture, because things that you can think about, they can't think about, and things that they can't think about, you can think about, and you get this wider perspective than you had going forward, and that's what I got. As I was listening, I was like, well, okay, that was good. Ooh, that might be even better. Ooh, wow, that's looking to excitement. And the brothers just can't stop me, like you said. And it's just that way that it goes. And it's all because, like you just said, been saying, Allah's reward, they're unending. He gives without counting. So we start thinking, well, how does that play out? Well, it plays out through individual. You're individual. You're going to get it from another individual. And then you can consider them, because they got it and that purity that they're giving it, that there could be what the angels is really talking about. It's not so much talking about something spooky. it sounds so phenomenal, like Sister Raymond was saying. She was like, I got this. I can't even hardly explain it. And it's just coming so much. And it's like, oh, wow, because the source that you're getting from is divine. And like you said before, we're in month of Ramadan to try to get the impurities out. So our filtering system is not up to it the best. And so we're feeling, are we really worthy of what we're getting? But of course we are. That's why we're getting it. You know.
Yeah.
But I want to share one last little thing that I'm getting, or I got during the month, was that's very personal, and it relates to you very much. And you know, you are my self-anointed mentor. But I'm going through YouTube. I'm just looking, just trolling and whatnot. And then up pops your name, Imam Fahim Shuaib. And I know you remember this. I don't know if you remember where it was at. I mean, but you can give me some little things on it. It says, speaking on worship, reborn by the language of the Quran. And it said it happened 7 years mm-hmm. ago, and you got 11,000 views up to this point. But and then you were talking about Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman, and then I guess on the same mm-hmm. program he was with you again, and it said Ramadan, the month of the Quran, and it said 7 years ago. So is any recollection of those two speaking events and any comments on them?
You know, in actuality, no, I remember having Rashad out here with us during Ramadan. But there are people, unless it's on, well, even if it's on my platform, because I haven't posted as regular on YouTube per se, most recently, sometimes people repost things from but frankly, no, I don't have any, subject-wise, as a message, sure, I definitely, that conceptually, but on that particular one that you're mentioning 7 years ago, it's likely the same one. So,
yes.
Are you asking about the idea itself or something?
No. I just was wanting it to recollection because what came to my mind was what you mentioned to me when I was there in Oakland is that some mm-hmm. of your best lectures are when you go out of town, you know, kind uh-huh, of for obvious uh-huh, reasons.
Yeah.
So you get the benefit of being in before another audience, and then the audience get the benefit of you know, being endowed a certain way because you are before another audience.
Mm-hmm.
I'll mention one other thing that you mentioned the book Thought for Searchers Seeking to Understand Life of that particular day, and so did he.
Uh-huh.
You mentioned that they were on sale uh-huh. and y'all had them and everything, and I guess it was around the time that it came out, and he was mentioning that it was one of the better ones because Imam Muhammad asked the people what he was talking to make the connection and then see where the connection leads you, and then whatever the connection leads you, it'll do that. But this particular one,
yeah.
The Imam had recommended the title to Imam Ron Shaheed. But anyway, like I said before, I'm not going to go on and on, but I just thought I was very much feeling like this was a little gift because I wasn't looking for it. I was just scrolling.
Alhamdulillah.
It popped up, and then same thing popped up, and it was like a back-to-back. I was like, wow, this is – hope I'm worthy of what I'm getting here because it was going to – so I said, well, I get a chance to ask you about it, and it was definitely so much in it. But the last little thing that you gave, you gave Quran Corpus and Quran Explorer – because some sister was
uh-huh.
concerned about her Arabic and having to go through the transliteration. He said, no, you just start with everybody else at Aleph, Bad, Tad, Sad, and then you go get the tools that are available now, and you have no reason to not able to get whatever level of literacy you can with the Arabic. You don't have to feel like you have to do a translation. Don't cheat yourself.
Yeah.
You know. So that's the last little thing that came out of it. It was like so rich in information, but simple little things that we need as we go along on this journey was given to me anyway in that particular thing. I thought I would share this morning, inshallah.
All right, alhamdulillah, I appreciate it. I'm gonna show you the impact of what you just said. Also, I'm gonna give a gift by the grace of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala that Allah gave to me that I found in the same way that you found what you're talking about. So for me, my emphasis is learning much more Nahu and Sarf. Nahu and Sarf is grammar and morphology for as far as, you know, the reading and technical analysis of Arabic, et cetera. Okay, so that's something. So, and I know that there are tremendous, tremendous, tremendous resources online, mashallah, on YouTube. You have to, you know, you just gotta face it. I don't know, maybe some people find that problematic, but it is a definite resource. And you can literally just put in any question that you want to put in. Just, you know, how do you turn the water outside the house off? Whatever, you know what I'm saying? Just put that in. Here comes a YouTube video on where to go, how to go, what to do, what not to do. Okay, well, I did the same thing with Arabic grammar. We have, alhamdulillah, I do know, we have all the schools, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's not dismissive of anybody that's contributing. But everybody, you know, needs what they need in the way that they need it at the time and the level and the measure that they need it. Okay, there's enough as I can say on that. So I put in
Actually, I was just trying to get some understanding on adjectives and adverbs, for example. But then I said, well, just type in Arabic grammar, technical something, some kind of language like that. But there was a young man that came up. He's a young, he must be like, seems to be Indonesian or, and one of the critical things I put also in my search, I said it had to be English. So you have some people that give you great, wonderful, rich instruction, but their accent is so thick. No disrespect. Their accent is so thick. It's like, man, I just wish his English was clearer, because I know he's saying exactly what I want because I'm looking at the words, you know. So that's what. So this one came up. He's a very young man. His name is Sheikh Yusuf Welch, and it's spelled W-E-L-T-C-H. And I'd have to be going to. Let me see if I can do it real quick. Go to the page. I'm kind of too far gone right now. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah, there you go. Okay. I'm trying to get the site correct. Okay, now the site, which has many, 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 many scholars on it. I haven't listened to all of them, obviously, but it's called Seeker's Guidance, all one word, Seeker's Guidance, the Global Islamic Seminary, right? So they have all kind of scholars, right? So this is just one that I came upon. And his Sheikh, they spell it S-H-A-Y-K-H, Yusuf, Y-U-S-U-F, Welch, W-E-L-T-C-H. Y'all can thank me later. I'll put my check in the mail. Beautiful young man, Indonesian. I'm going to call it Indonesian. We'll work it out later. Clear English speech. He is a very patient teacher, and the way that he sets his things up, you can see it in writing. He's very clear. He's an excellent teacher. So, and he's going through, for those of you, you know, anybody who knows about the Ajramiya, if you know about the Ajramiya, he has a setup that goes through the whole thing, the whole Ajramiya. And that only means something if you know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to try to explain it. That right there, Ajramiya, that's one. So you can go to him for, you know, the Arabic grammar and the like. So it's very good. So that's an example of how we gift, how we share. By if you hadn't said what you said, then I wouldn't say what she said. If she hadn't said what mm-hmm. she said, then you wouldn't have said what you said. So that's Allah yes. using all of us to enrich all of us, right?
Yes.
Because I bear witness that anybody who's at that point, if you consider yourself, you know, having some knowledge, some beginning knowledge of Arabic in this case. I'm sure he has beginning Arabic instruction somewhere down the line. But if you are right on that edge of just past beginning and going toward that intermediate and want to go further, I think this is an excellent, excellent find for that. So, that's going to be it for today. Thank you so much, Imam. Thank you for everyone. Thank you to everyone who has been here with us, and alhamdulillah. So, inshallah, I don't know what tomorrow is going to be. I do plan to broadcast tomorrow. I don't know. Let's see when we see each other, i.e., abstractly speaking, tomorrow, and we'll see what happens. May Allah have mercy on us, guide us to the best, accept our fast. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام.
peace of mind. It seems like you've been searching for a long time. Well, me, I finally got myself together.
You'll be so free.